Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. It is a blessing to be in the midst of the grace of God, to just allow Him to wash over you and to allow us to worship Him and to be a full witness of His glorious grace. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we will bow down to. This is the God that does exceedingly abundantly above all you could think or even imagine. This is a God that blesses His own when we are full of His grace, full of His Spirit. This is the God that we serve. He is totally awesome. He is truly amazing. And He is a God who loves big. And I am so grateful to be a child of the Most High God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I am so forever grateful that you have tuned into the broadcast again, and that we are going to conclude or look at our third point of this teaching track, Who Do You Say You Are? And we are going to look at our third point. And the third point is be a full witness. Now let's look at this. A full witness of Jesus Christ is a slave of Christ, a bondservant, a prisoner, a servant of Christ. Believers of Christ Jesus are to be salt and light of the world. Keep in mind, your fruit of your labor in the vineyard should be your witness of who you are with saltiness, according to Matthew 5, verse 13. Now, I'm going to conclude this teaching series, Who Do You Say You Are? And we're going to focus on point three. But keep these sweet nuggets in mind. Saltiness, salt and light, a slave of Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you the question again. Who do you say you are? So let's look at what our last point focuses on. We're going to move through some scriptures, as I do always, but the last two teaching tracks, teaching series on this particular lesson were concerning how hungry you are as a slave. And as a slave, what do you crave? And we looked at how believers in Christ Jesus are to be hungry for work. We are vineyard workers. We are to bear fruit in the vineyard. Where is the vineyard? The vineyard is right in your own family. The vineyard is your neighbor. Your vineyard could be across the world. But most of the time, the vineyard is right there in your face. So we are to work in the vineyard, and we are to pray one for another that the workers not become lazy. And then we are to crave worship as a slave, as a bondservant. We are to crave this with a hunger that we bow down to God in worship. I explained what worship meant. Worship was adoration of God for who He is. In simple, calling Him who He is, Abba, Father, I am. Alpha and Omega. We looked at that in specifics, calling him who he is and bowing down to him. We indicated, or I indicated, that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that God is the Father. And we are to crave this in our witness, to worship him. And now we are on our third point. We're going to look at be a full witness, not a half-hearted witness with a half-hearted worship, with a half or lazy-like hunger for work. But we are to be a full witness. Now, we've lost our witness as believers in Christ Jesus. It appears that we've lost our witness, and it might just be because we're afraid to stand up and be a witness of Christ Jesus. Now, this does not mean every believer in Christ Jesus is afraid, but the body of Christ should be a mighty army standing in the face of unrighteousness and standing there proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in its full righteousness. We are to live in a manner that exemplifies Jesus Christ and what he teaches us through the Word of God. We are to be holy in our living. That means separate and set apart from the way that the world has chosen to live. We are to be peculiar in our thinking, in our speech, and we are to be different because of who lives inside of us, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, not everybody can be a full witness, because in the body of Christ, we see some that are weaker than others. So those that are stronger in the body of Christ, we are to help the weaker become strong. And how do we do this? We are to encourage one another. Encourage them how? Through the very spoken word of God, written word of God, and that is through his scriptures. We are to pray with one another, and prayer builds us up in strength. The word of God feeds the soul, that the soul will become stronger, that we can go and grow and build up the others that are weaker behind you. So now let's look at Scripture and see how Scripture solidifies how we as believers in Christ Jesus, as Christ followers, how we are to be full witnesses. Now, as I said in the intro of this teaching track, a slave is hungry, a slave craves, and a slave desires to be full. Now, that's the question to you. As a slave or a bondservant or even a prisoner of Christ Jesus, do you hunger like a slave who's locked up in prison? Do you crave like a slave who is locked up in his prison wall, if you will? And do you desire to be full and rich and fortified as a slave desires to be if they were living in the king's palace where everything is plenty and they desire to live as a king with plenty. Now, this is the illustration, the parallelism that I wanted to show in this teaching track by calling yourself a slave of Jesus Christ. Doesn't take a negative tone. It doesn't take a dark tone. It takes a rich and full tone. Paul called himself a slave, according to Romans 1:1. He called himself a slave of Jesus Christ. And some translations indicated that he was a bondservant, or a prisoner, a servant of Jesus Christ. So, yes, Paul hungered to work in the vineyard, and he did, according to the epistles, he did. And when he craved to worship God the Father, he did worship him. When he was in prison, he sang out to him in praises, and he bowed down to God in worship, calling him who he is. And yes, Paul was a full witness of Jesus Christ. And we know that as we read the scriptures and the text, and it tells us that he has come to the end of his race. And he has been a good exemplified witness of what Jesus taught the disciples to do. So this leads me into our text, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 17. Now, I want to read this particular text in its entirety, at least through verses 33. Because I want to paint the picture of what Jesus was preparing his disciples for. Now, as a full witness, and we know the story of Paul, and if you don't know the story of Paul, start in the book of Acts and read through his life in the book of Acts. But we're going to start in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 10. So if you would follow along with me, starting in verse 17. Now, I'm going to read this in the NIV translation, and this is preparing Jesus preparing the disciples for persecution. Now, most of us may not be persecuted to the degree that the disciples were, or maybe even some missionaries in foreign countries who are persecuted because of the name of Jesus Christ, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, because of the sharing of the gospel to others of Jesus Christ. Coming under harsh persecution to the point of death in some situations. Now, that may not be you or me, but Jesus was preparing the disciples for that type of treatment. And we may think even some of the treatment that we get from others because of who we are and because of the faith that we believe. We may have been persecuted, but the severity of persecution to death is what Jesus was preparing his disciples for. So let's look at this passage in Matthew chapter 10, and I'll start reading And you follow along in verse 17. Be on your guard against men. Now, this is a word to us, not just the disciples, but this speaks to me. It should speak to you as a child of salt and light or a slave of Christ Jesus. Jesus is letting them know to be on guard. So that means he's letting us know to be on guard. We have an adversary that wants to accuse us before God, and his name is Satan. But Jesus is telling the disciples to be on your guard. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. Now, that one verse talks about how Jesus also was handed over when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we know who betrayed him. Judas betrayed him, and he showed the synagogue or the church religious leaders where he was. We know the story, and if you don't, read that also in the book of Matthew. And we know that he was turned over, he was persecuted, flogged, stripped, pierced, and then they made him walk down Calvary's cross with the cross on his back to be crucified. So let's keep reading. Verse 18, on my account, Jesus is saying, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. Now, think about that. Think about that. How would they be given words to say? We know now that it is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of God's children. And the only way that you can hear God's still small voice is by way of the Holy Spirit and being Spirit-filled. Now, how do you become a full witness and a Spirit-filled full witness of Jesus Christ? Well, first, you have got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step. You have got to accept him as your Savior. And then, when you accept Jesus as Lord and confess to him that you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself from eternal damnation, that is hell, that you fall on your knees and you surrender your heart to him, that he would sit on the throne of your heart. And you come to him by faith, believing that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross for your sin, that you will have eternal life. You believe that by faith without a shadow of a doubt. And when you believe by faith, you will be saved by his amazing grace. Now, this is all that we have to do to have eternal life in heaven. That's the first step. in order for you to hunger for work, and in order for you to crave worship, and also be a full witness, this is the first step called salvation. Accepting Him, capital H-I-M, as your Savior. There's no other way but to trust and obey God through the Holy Spirit, saved and believed by faith, Jesus Christ, you will be saved. John 3:16 put it very nicely. Let whosoever will, he that believes in Jesus, let him come. And that's what God wants us to do. Come to him. Now, let's keep reading through this passage. But the only way is through salvation, for you to experience God, for you to hear from God, and for you to exemplify the holiness of a believer in Christ Jesus. And, of course, that is a sanctified life that stays on the right side of the narrow road of righteousness, that has turned from the wide road of destruction, that has laid down every weight in your life, that you have latched on to the peace that surpasses all of your understanding. This is grace. This is Jesus Christ. This is the God you serve. But the only way this can happen, the only fullness that you can have, is through Jesus Christ first. In order to come to God, you have to go through Jesus Christ first. So, as we continue to read in verse 20, for it will not be your speaking. There it is. It will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now, this is what Jesus is explaining to the disciples, but this is his preparation for them. Verse 21, Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. We see this every day. We see this every day we turn on the news. This particular verse, verse 21, is being manifested right now. Brother against brother, betraying one another. Father, his child. Children will rebel against parents. And of course, death comes in. That's why we have to pray. That is why we have work to do in the vineyard. This is why we will do a greater work, Jesus said, because of what is taking place in the world today. So we don't have to ask for ministry or God give me a ministry. Well, when God gives me a ministry, well, when God shows me my purpose. No, this is your purpose. In verse 21, 22, all men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, this is for us. So even when you may feel like you're being persecuted, but say you're being talked about behind your back, or your family's coming against you because you stand firm on righteousness, or your convictions about things that they may want to do that you have stood to not do, you stand firm on your conviction of righteousness. And yes, you will be talked about. You will be brought to court from time to time. You just never know, but you know why. Because of your faith, because of who you have chosen to say yes to. So when we say yes to Jesus, then the lifestyle should start taking some change. Verse 23, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. Who's our master? God the Father. Who's the slave or servant? We are the children of light. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Think about that. So what God reveals to you in his small, gentle, loving, sweet way, speak about it in daylight. What is whispered, what he has revealed to you concerning his word, concerning his grace, concerning his love, speak about it from the rooftop. That means be a full witness. Don't cower back. Don't be afraid. No matter what they say about you. And you'll notice from time to time when we speak more about righteousness and who Jesus Christ is in our life, you'll find yourself being alone quite a bit. Paul found himself this way also. So did Jesus. All 11 disciples left him, with the exception of one when he was at the cross. Being crucified on the cross, all his disciples flee, with the exception of one. We know Judas betrayed him. We know Peter denied him. But all the others, with the exception of one disciple, they ran in fear. And the one that remained at the foot of the cross was John, the very one who wrote Revelation and the one who wrote the book of John, the Gospel of John. He remained. Now, are you going to stand firm when the heat is raised, or when you feel or it appears as though pressure is coming towards you? Are you going to buckle? Are you going to bow down? Or are you going to stand firm as a full witness? Verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. This is encouragement to us as believers in Christ Jesus. Do not be afraid. Paul put it like this. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. How can that be? Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. That is how it can be. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. Rather, be afraid of the one. Now, in this translation, one is capitalized. That is another word of worship. He is the one, capitalized, O-N-E. He told Moses to tell Pharaoh, I am who I am sent you. You go and tell Pharaoh, I am. That's it. Capital I, capital A, capital M. I am Jehovah, Yahweh. Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that speaks volume. That speaks power. The God that we serve, who created the heavens, the universe, the earth, is almighty, powerful God. He is the only one that can destroy the body and the soul in hell. And that's why the work is so much greater for us, because of the waywardness of this world today. Father against son, mother against daughter, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father? And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Who knows the number of hairs on their head? Nobody but God, the Father. He knows every hair on your head. Power. That is the mightiness of our God. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing, all-present. He's omnipotent. That's worship, calling him who he is. Adoration of God for who he is, what he's done, and what you are trusting him to do. The God that knows the very number of hairs on your head. So, again, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Now, that's a word to you as well as me. God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will. He gave his only son, that whosoever will believe in him shall have eternal life. That's a promise. He loves us that much. He loves you that much that he gave. So he says, don't be afraid. Whoever acknowledges, now these are the verses here, verse 32 and verse 33, to solidify a full witness Now, don't miss this. And you would underline these verses or circle the verses in your Bible. It says, whoever acknowledges me before men, and it's a comma in this translation. That means don't just roll over this verse. Don't read it so fast. The comma means rest. Soak it in. Let it absorb into your heart. Whoever acknowledges me before men. So that means that you don't cower back when the opportunity presents itself for you to say who you are. Who do you say you are? I am a child of the Most High God. Whose God? What God do you serve? I serve God the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, whose Son is Jesus Christ, who lives inside of me. Well, when you say something like that, you will be talked about. You will be frowned upon, especially if they're not a brother and sister in Christ. And even some of those who claim to be Christians, you've got to keep watch, even for them. You will know them by their fruit, is what Scripture teaches us. Test the spirit that's within them, tenderly and lovingly. Verse 32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Now, that is the test of a full witness. Don't flunk this test. If you want to be acknowledged before God the Father by Jesus Christ, then do not deny him on earth. We are to be a full witness. And according to Matthew 5, verse 13, and you can write that down for the benefit of going back and reading, but I'm going to read it for the benefit of solidifying what we are to do and what we are to be. Now, you can go there in your Bible if you so choose, but I just ask that you write it down, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. And it reads, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Amen. So this is the understanding. This is the principal teaching. As a full witness, we are to be salty saints. We are to be vineyard workers. We are to be a city sitting on a hill that is so well lit that it cannot be hidden. We are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to acknowledge God the Father before men. So let's go back to chapter 10 in Matthew. And I want to just reread verse 32 for the benefit of it impacting your heart. That it would be a thought-provoking verse to make you become a full witness of Jesus Christ. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also. That means something there. I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But, now, don't just run over the word but takes on a little pivot in the verse, the next verse. But whoever disowns me before men, and I advise you not to ever do that, as a child of the Most High God, do not ever disown Jesus Christ. But whoever disowns me before men, something to think about, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. So let's think about that. Those who have denied Jesus Christ, have not accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Those who have stood before men and said there is no God. Those who believe that Jesus is just another prophet in the category of Muhammad or Buddha. Those are the ones that there's still hope for. But if they choose not to accept and they continue to reject Jesus, then Jesus is telling the disciples very plainly in verse 33, but whoever disowns me before men on earth, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And that, my brothers and sisters, is something we do not ever want to experience. Now, of course, as a believer in Christ Jesus, and you have wholeheartedly accepted him as your Lord and Savior, as I indicated in the beginning, you are free from being disowned. You are now a child of the Most High God. But for those that we need to witness to, those that we need to continue to encourage and lead them to the ark of salvation, that they would enter in a door that no man can open and that no man can shut, only God. This is the work for us, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, leading the lost to salvation, that they will not be disowned before God. A full witness has a great work. And, of course, the work is worship God and be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back, if you will, to Matthew 5. And we're going to reread verse 13 through 16. And I hope this passage in Matthew 10 has impacted your life or your thought or your heart in some kind of way to where it would transform you to want to be a slave of Christ Jesus, not only being hungry for work, and when I say hungry for work, not sitting around waiting for the Holy Spirit to reveal. No, you boldly ask God to use you for his divine purpose and to the fullness of his purpose. Ask, surrender to be used in the most beautiful way that he sees fit according to his will. But we become lazy workers when we sit from the comfort of our couch or our home waiting for God to show us. He's already shown you. The work is in the scriptures letting us know. Jesus let his disciples know what they would be subjected to. Now, this is the same for you and I. And our adversary, Satan himself, will use anybody that is weak enough to allow him to enter in and bring harshness against us, devastations against us. But we are to stand firm on the promises of God. This too shall pass. Peace that surpasses our understanding. Love covers a multitude of sin. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. Promises. We stand on the promises of God. Chapter 5, Matthew, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. For you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. That's called a full witness. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, or in some other translations, your good works. That work is the fruit that you sow. You sow good seeds that you would reap a good harvest. That is the fruit of your labor. That's called vineyard workers who want to sow good seed in the hearts of the lost, in the hearts of the weaker brothers and sisters, in the hearts of the dysfunctional, of the hearts of the weary, that they may be made whole, that they may become stronger. That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Praise. What is praise? Praise him with the hand clap of praise, with singing of praise, with instruments of praise, with dancing of praise. Praising the Lord for what he's done in your life, in and through you. That's the Holy Spirit working in and through you, that the fruit would fall from the tree. The seeds of righteousness are planted in fertile ground. God will send others to water. God is the only one that reaps, grows the produce. Some will plant, others will water. God brings the manifestation. That's the God that we serve. God Almighty, God the faithful one, God the holy one, God the provider, Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. So that solidifies being a full witness. Now, my next point in this particular area of this lesson, be a full witness, we've seen how we are to stand. We see how stand in our conviction, in our righteousness. Jesus was preparing the disciples for persecution. But now we are subjected to a bit of that, maybe not to the degree that the disciples were, but we are subjected to what may not feel good to our emotions, what may not feel good to our thinking, and what may not feel good to our choices. And when I say feel good, someone may say something against you that could be a complete lie. That does not feel good. And in our mind, we know that they're lying. And in our emotions, we may want to come against them. But we cannot do that. We deny the flesh daily so that we can exemplify the holiness of our righteousness. So we are peculiar, remember, and we do opposite of what we may be subjected to. There may be that person on the job that keeps treating you differently. But I like to look at it this way. We kill them with kindness. Now, not literally killing, but the illustration is that we treat them differently than they treat us. It's hard, but it's worth it. In us treating them differently, it glorifies God, the Father. Remember, everything that we do, we are to glorify God in our doing. That is the satisfaction of being a full witness, that he gets the glory from the fruit of our lips, from the praise of our hands, from the singing of our voice, from the dancing of the body, that he gets the glory. Then what is the reaping of the benefit of being a full witness? Well, we've seen in Matthew on how we are to be a full witness, regardless of what we're subjected to. And we've seen in Matthew on how we are to stay holy and full of light, regardless of what we are being subjected to. It's not easy, but it's worth it. God never promised, or Jesus never promised these disciples that it was going to be easy, but he forewarned them before he walked that road. But the reaping of the benefit of being a full witness of Jesus Christ is this. Let's go to Psalms 34. And we're going to read, start at verse 8. Psalms 34, verse 8. And it says very, very plainly, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy, joyful, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Now, this is the New King James Translation, and I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who trust in him. Amen. And I just had to say that with expression of joy and fullness and there's no other word for me to place in this area but joy. It is a joy. And it says, oh, the joy of those who trust in him. Amen. So, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no what to those who fear him. So we fear the Lord in reverence. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. We lack nothing. Let the Lord's people show him reverence. For those who honor him, worship him is in that, is what that means. For those who honor him will have all they need. We lack nothing when we seek the Lord, honor the Lord. That is the reaping of the benefit of being a full witness. Amen. And we will look at, go back one Psalm to 33. Psalms 33, verse 20 through 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Amen. This is the satisfaction of being a full witness, and it is the reaping of the benefits of being a full witness on this side of heaven. We depend on the Lord alone to save us. Only he can help us, protecting us like a shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we are trusting in his holy name. And this, again, is just the reaping of the benefit of being a full witness, a slave, a bondservant, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. This is it. We're no longer lazy. We no longer lack, and we're no longer lost. We're hungry for work. We crave worship, and we are a full witness. Now, lastly, the reaping of the benefit of being a full witness on the other side of heaven is in Revelation 12, verse 11. So turn your Bibles to Revelation 12. And I'll read it in the New International Version, the NIV. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. They overcame him. Who is him? Him is Satan. They overcame Satan, the overcomers. In this particular passage, the overcomers, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus Christ. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What was their testimony? What did they say? Well, let me tell you what they said. The word of their testimony was the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They went around telling people how Jesus died, how he was buried, and how he rose and he lives and he sits on the right-hand side of God the Father, interceding for his children, preparing a house not made by hands of men. This is the word of their testimony, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how we overcome the tricks, the snares of Satan, the temptations of Satan. It's by the very word of God. He will give us the perseverance to get through any and every storm that comes across our path or in our life. And when we bow down and worship him, and we get back up and praise him by the fruit of our lips, Satan will flee. The quietness of the storm will be just like Jesus telling the disciples when they were in the boat and the waters were raging and they were about to take over them according to the disciples. And the Lord spoke, "Peace, be still." These are the ones who overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death or shrink from death. So that means that to live as Christ, to die is gain. They didn't love their lives on this side of heaven to where they did not want to die proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to proclaim the gospel. We are to live as children of light. We are to live holy and separate from the world till death. We don't become a puppet on a string for Satan to tempt us to live worldly, regardless of what it offers. the reaping of benefits on the other side in heaven are far more greater than what is offered here on earth. I pray that this has been a blessing to you. This brings us to the end of this particular point. Be a full witness. And I hope that these verses impacted your life to where you now know who you are in Christ, just as Paul knew who he was as a slave of Christ. I hope that you hunger for work in the vineyard because there's so much to do. And I pray and hope that you crave to bow down to God and worship him. That when you get up, you would exalt him in singing and psalms. That the fullness of your life will be a testimony to others, that they would say, what must I do to be saved? So, again, I pray that you continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio as a vehicle for you to grow and go in grace, and that you would share this broadcast with others, that they would want to know what must they do to be saved. We are a ministry that exposes the word, we expound on the word of God, and we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to every listener of this broadcast. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, oh yes, they do fade away. But the word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless you. Continue to be a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio. And always remember that the Word of God will remain forever.